It's been a week of big news with LeBron James signing exclusively with Topps & Fanatics and agreeing to a multi-year sports card deal. But is this really a big deal, a little deal, or no deal at all? We'll debate now. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode of Cards on the Table. And gentlemen, it's been a week of big news for the sports card hobby. Doug, Carter, happy to have you guys on the show to dive into this. Because we've talked about it on this show before. It's been rumored for a while that LeBron had some deal in the works with Topps and Fanatics and that he was going to start signing autographs. In fact, there was this image floating around of a Bronny and LeBron James dual autograph card. We talked about that on the show before, but now it is all official. The news officially came out yesterday from Fanatics and Topps that, first of all, that card is real, and we're going to see that card soon. But in addition to that, LeBron has signed an exclusive multi-year deal for sports cards. Presumably, we're going to see a lot more autographs from him in the future. Maybe we're going to see some appearances from him, some Tom Brady-like involvement in different sports card products, perhaps. And then also yesterday, Topps and Fanatics released an incredible short film oriented at LeBron collecting and collectors. So we're now seeing LeBron get into the advertising circles, touching sports cards in that way as well. Doug, I'm going to start with you today. Is this a big deal for the sports card hobby? Is this a little deal, or is this actually no deal at all?
1,046. It has been 1,046 days since Florida has beaten Kentucky.
Oh my God.
In basketball or football.
We can have the show ourselves here, Jeff.
Oh my God. I thought you were about to pull out some LeBron stats.
Not since we've met.
Oh my God.
Have you enjoyed a victory over the Wildcats in either basketball or football?
Teapot will be in this chair next week. I assure you that.
I'm excited for the marketing that this is going to bring. We've talked about this a little bit, a couple of months ago when we saw the card, the dual auto with the Sun, and we kind of shared our thoughts on whether or not that could spark the basketball market. But now after what we saw with Tom Brady Day, we saw the injection of his cards in the Bowman baseball, and then all of the athletes that they use in this big marketing campaign around it. That's what I'm really excited about. I think the marketing that they're going to create around this is going to be a really big deal. I've got a lot of faith in how they'll kind of drive up the interest and the hype around this, and that I think is going to be the biggest thing for me. It's, the card giver, whatever. I'll probably never get my hands on one of those LeBron autos. It's not going to be for me, and I'm not a huge LeBron fan anyway, but I do think that the marketing around this has massive potential, and that's, part of their plan to 10x the hobby, right?
Yeah, no, that's very exciting, and of course it also then brings up the question about, are we going to get Topps basketball cards soon? It's been rumored for a while that we might get Topps basketball, maybe get Topps Chrome this NBA season. Now, if they have the auto deal with LeBron, do you start to see LeBron autos in Topps basketball products soon? We know that will eventually happen because Topps and Fanatics officially take over those licenses in a few years. But it's rumored they're going to start making some cards sooner than that. Yep. We'll see. We don't know that officially yet or not. But you would think that if they're signing LeBron to a deal now, that they're going to do something with his autographs and over the next couple of years. So that remains to be seen. From your perspective, Carter, is this a big deal? Is this a little deal, or is this no deal at all?
I think it's a huge deal. I don't think it's just a huge deal, though, for basketball collectors only. I think a lot of people are going to put emphasis on basketball cards. I think this impacts all cards. I think having this level of a player and a person in the sports industry in general involved now further in cards and marketing of it is just going to further our industry. I mean, if you don't have faith in Fanatics right now, you better hop on board. Between the Brady stuff and this, and there's more to come, I'm sure. This is a massive deal. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, and the Victor Wembanyama stuff as well. I mean, it seems to be kind of building upon a trend. We can see this trend now. They did a lot of marketing with Victor Wembanyama last year. They did the big event with him that a lot of collectors got invited to if they had redemptions of certain
one
of his cards.
They have.
They had Tom Brady at their, you know, big trade night they did in New York City, along with Kevin Hart and Travis Scott and others. And yeah, now we have LeBron. You know, are we going to see LeBron at an upcoming,
probably,
what upcoming yeah. Topps events are we going to see LeBron at?
Hopefully at Cards HQ someday.
Hey, bring him to Cards HQ. We'd love to have LeBron at Cards HQ. You know, I know LeBron is somewhat of a controversial figure. Not everybody likes him. And there will inevitably be many of you, some of you, in the comments who say this is no deal at all. In fact, this somehow hurts the hobby. But
some people have taken that stance somehow.
People do. But look, I mean, you know, political views and that type of thing aside, there is no doubt that LeBron is, you know, one of the biggest names of any athlete in any sport anywhere in the world. He's one of the most recognizable guys. And so probably even more so than Tom Brady when you look at global appeal. So the fact that LeBron is now on this, you know, on the sports card train, I think it's a big deal.
And it's just a couple of months after Brady as well.
Yeah.
We've got two of the biggest stars of their respective sports in the modern era, and just a couple of months apart, you know, doing this big marketing campaign for sports cards. This is a good thing.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
They're not done. What's next?
Yeah.
What's next? Can't wait for what's next. Yeah. Excited for that for sure. Speaking of what's next, Pristine has another great elite auction going on now in January, and some really nice cards in there, including... they have a Patrick Mahomes 2018. It's a white box, one of one. Okay. It's from Panini One. His NFL swoosh, so early career, it is the white box, but any one of one Patrick Mahomes early career card is, especially one of one, is going to be well sought after. What do you think of the Chiefs in the playoffs this year, Doug? You think they're going to rebound to kind of get it together? Is this card a buy, or do you think they're going to kind of falter out of the way?
Miami first, who are they playing?
Yeah, Miami has to go there in like 6-degree weather.
So yeah, Miami has a really terrible record in cold.
Yeah, they're going to win.
Yeah, so you know, I don't like the Chiefs, but I kind of like the Chiefs in this one particular matchup. We'll see what happens.
We'll see where it goes. What do you have your eye on in Pristine?
Yeah, so you know, Tiger Woods has been in the news a little bit lately. He just ended his deal with Nike, and I just saw a really nice Tiger Woods card on there. It's a 2013 Upper Deck Masters Collection on card Tiger Woods auto, and it's got a tournament used swatch of one of his towels embedded as well, and it's out of five. It's really nice.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's right now in Pristine. All right, how about, what do you see, Carter?
All right, well, I've been sticking with the 49ers since week one for my Super Bowl pick, so I picked a Christian McCaffrey jersey signed by 27 different players from this year's team. including Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold. So if something happens to Purdy and they still win the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold, you're still getting the quarterback on jersey. And in my opinion, he's not going to get it, but I think Christian McCaffrey's the MVP. He's had an amazing year.
All right. Those items and many, many more are up for auction right now at pristineauction.com. And when you register at pristineauction.com, use promo code SCI, registration code SCI, and you're going to get $10 in free credit towards your first auction purchase at pristineauction.com. Okay, guys, Teapot has been out. I had to step into his chair this last week for the data dive. And so I decided to do a video on the Market Movers YouTube channel where I looked back at the 20 hottest popular high-end cards and the 20 coldest popular high-end cards from the year 2023. You know, we're obviously in a new year now. So I said, let's look back at last year. What cards were the hottest? What cards were the coldest overall? So on the hot list, the names included Shohei Ohtani. No surprise there, multiple Shohei Ohtani cards. You had Brock Purdy, you had Jokic, you had some Michael Jordan cards, Barry Sanders, Ken Griffey Jr., Ricky Henderson, and several popular Pokemon cards. On the cold list, you had Derek Jeter, LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Luka, a couple Luka cards, Joe Burrow, Austin Matthews, a little surprising there, Tom Brady, and then the 1980 Topps Bird Magic Dr. J card. So I was surprised. Yep. You see some goats on the hot list, but you also see some goats on the cold list. Yep. And some, you know, modern players on hot and modern players on cold. Doug, as you kind of look at that list, what stands out to you? Any surprises, any takeaways?
Yeah, well, takeaways for sure, because doing these sort of retrospectives is always really interesting and always revealing. The most interesting things I found on there is Purdy being hot while someone like Tom Brady being cold. Like that, if you just think about that alone, and you know, you can kind of explain either one of them, I suppose. But if you just look at that in and of itself, that's just such a weird dynamic. Purdy up, the best of all time down. Like, that doesn't make any sense. We've got to be a little bit smarter, I think, about how we're spending our money in the hobby. I was really surprised that Tatum was so cold.
Yeah, Tatum was on the cold list, too.
I imagine that as a result of him getting really hot during their championship run, and then when they fell short, there just must have been a massive drop-off there. But that one really surprised me. But also, I think the 1980 Bird Magic and Dr. J, why is that so cold? Like, what am I missing there? Like, I need to figure out what happened with that, because I think that's a really interesting and telling one. That's a card I love. I don't own it. I'd love to own it.
Yeah.
Really surprised to see that go so low, though. Most of these are explainable, but that one I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, the Brady, you do have to consider that a year ago he was still in the NFL.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs last year, right? Wild card. They got eliminated, I think, in the first round of the playoffs last year, if I remember. But they were still there. They were still in the mix, right, a year ago. So people were still into Brady. And then he exits the playoffs. It wasn't a great season. Then he retires and says, I'm done for real. So I understand Brady's market softening. But, I mean, it is interesting, as you said, when you kind of compare it back and forth to Purdy. It is a little bit of a weird juxtaposition there. Carter, what stood out to you?
I kind of had a similar perspective, but on the basketball side. I was really looking at Jokic and then the Jordan cards and the Bird. I thought, you know, obviously the Nuggets won this year, and I think Jokic should have had a bump. But as a big man, I don't think there's a lot of hype around him. I don't think Denver is a huge market basketball team. Also, I don't think long-term Jokic is really a great kind of buy in the sports card industry. There was a quote recently by him that he doesn't even want to be known after he's done playing. He kind of wants to go back to Serbia, work something. You know,
that's interesting.
He's not going to be relevant. He's not going to be like these guys that are going to get into broadcasting or be a coach or anything like that, or you know, be a celebrity aspect, right? So his relevance, you know, long-term, I'm not really sure about. So, but Tatum was the big one for me.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a big Tatum supporter. I think he's one of the most special players in the NBA. I understand why he's cold, but I think he's probably a little too cold in the last year.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Tatum could be a buy right now. Boston's still playing very well this season. You know, they at some point in time, he's going to, you know, him and Jaylen Brown, they're going to figure it out. They're going to probably overcome the hump, right? And actually, you know, win an NBA championship, I would think. So this might be his market is down. Tatum's market is down from where it was a year ago. It does seem like maybe he's a buy at the moment. But yeah, good things to point out. I kind of still think Luka's a buy as well, not necessarily for this season, but perhaps future seasons. He's just been on a price slide for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, at
some
point.
Long time.
Yeah, at some point, you really have to start considering him again. I've been down on Luka for a couple of years now, just way overblown. All of these expectations and accolades are baked into his price, and now it's actually getting realistic that, you know, he might be undervalued again.
I agree.
For the first time in a long time.
I think we're starting to get there. Okay, guys, we got more great topics to discuss. Some things happening with Bowman U football. We've also got the new Color Blast from Prism and other inserts we got to tell you about after this quick break. Guys, grab that Market Movers app so you too can track what cards are hottest and coldest in the sports card market. Go to sportscardinvestor.com and click Market Movers in the main menu bar, or download the Market Movers app from the App Store on your phone, and it's all free for you to try. Go get that right now. Okay, guys, we just had the football national championship game earlier this week. Not quite as good of a game as we were hoping, but the semifinal games were entertaining, certainly at least. But we saw some stars there. Obviously, you had Penix, who had a great semifinal game, got beat up a little bit in the national championship game, but is projected to be a very top draft pick, maybe top two or so in the draft, you know, here in a few months. And one thing I thought was interesting is we saw some real heat around Bowman U cards of some of the guys who were playing in the national championship game. We saw some sales volume movement. We saw some price movement. Penix actually ended up on our top five cards earlier this week for the lead up to the national championship game. It seems as though Bowman U continues to kind of cement itself as more and more of a legitimate set. And I just had Card Collector 2, Ryan, on the Jeff Wilson Show yesterday. By the way, check that out. Great interview on the Jeff Wilson Show. Separate YouTube channel. Search for Jeff Wilson Show. You'll find it. And we talked about the market, and he said that Bowman U is the number one selling product at his card shop. Now, he's, of course, in Columbus, Ohio, near the University of Ohio. Makes some sense. But It's interesting, the rise of this. So Doug, I ask you, are we gonna see a continued rise in these college football products and in products like Bowman U? And will there be a point in the future where people look at these cards as their true first cards of a lot of these athletes who go on and have great careers?
I think probably not on your last question. I don't think that you'll see football get to a point or basketball get to a point where these collegiate cards are going to be looked at as their first card, or, you know, compare it to baseball with Bowman first. You're still comparing collegiate versus pro. With Bowman first in baseball, they're still in a pro jersey. And I think that distinction makes all the difference. And, you know, talking about Ryan, you know, I've talked to him in years past where Prism Draft was also his best-selling product. I think that's more a result of him being in Columbus, being in a college town. I don't think, you know, if we opened Cards HQ today, I don't think that Bowman U would be the best-selling product. We are in a pro sports town right next to the Braves Stadium. We probably sell a lot of baseball, more than we would sell of that, in my opinion. I do think that that product still has room to go up. I think they've done a really good job with it. Getting all the licensing is super important. And you see the value in it. I mean, these cards are holding pretty good numbers for the star QBs, for the first autos and things of that nature. So it's not like they're going to disappear and be irrelevant. They'll be relevant, but they're never going to be as good as, you know, a first Prism or first Topps Chrome or whatever it is down the line.
Yeah, interesting. Carter, do you agree with what he just said, or do you have a different perspective on this?
I generally agree. I view Bowman U as a collector's product.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think people can resonate with their school. Like, Doug can get a card from, you know, Kentucky basketball player. You can get Florida, you know, football players. You know, I know you had ETN pretty heavy, right? You know, but I think this is a collector's product first, and I actually think Cards HQ is going to be really heavy into it. I think we're in a college football town. I think we're Braves first, and then we're Georgia football. We're college football headquarters, college football Hall of Fames here in Atlanta. I think Cards HQ is going to be a massive Bowman U store.
Okay. All right. So we're stocking up on Bowman
yeah.
U.
Oh, yeah. We already have a bunch. We got Sapphire. We're getting everything.
Yeah. It's interesting. I get your point about the pro jerseys. I'm actually curious to hear what the audience thinks about this, because I'm kind of debating in my mind if I fully agree with you on that or not, because yes.
I think the answers are going to change regionally.
I mean, yeah.
Also, we're in the Southeast, which is, you know, rabid for college football.
Yeah.
So that might just, you know, maybe it's an entire region thing and not just city to city. But I think, you know, depending on who you ask and where they live, you'll get different answers.
I guess you do get the pro logo on the cards as well. Like, I'm thinking about like Drew Jones, you know, first Bowman
you
this
do.
Year. I mean, he does have the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Logo on that card.
It aligns with your major league team.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Whereas obviously, you know, Anthony Richardson, you know, Gators logo, Colts fans maybe not quite as
a really good
example for that reason.
Here's a really good example. Titans fans hate Will Levis because they're primarily Tennessee Volunteer fans who hate Kentucky, right? So, and Will Levis had this thing where he came out in a news conference and said, if you don't like me as your quarterback for the Titans because of where I went to college, don't start liking me when we start winning. You know, keep that same energy. And it was a really funny quote, but that's kind of the thing, right? Like, you may love the Titans and you may want your quarterback's first card, but you don't want him in a Kentucky uniform if you're a Tennessee fan. Mm. You right?
All right. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's probably true. I'm burning my Travis Etienne cards right
Fair.
Now.
Yeah.
So I'm burning them.
We're selling them at Cards HQ.
Actually, I did.
Yeah.
I actually just gave them to Cards HQ to sell. That's actually what happened. Okay, guys, our second mailbag topic today. So last week, we saw the release of the brand new 2023 Prism Football. You guys actually had an epic box battle where you pulled a crazy one-on-one card. You pulled a CJ Stroud. That was a lot of fun. That product is missing autos from players like CJ Stroud and Will Levis and some others, I think Bryce Young, right? So seems like maybe Panini compensated by creating more inserts, such as different variations of the color blast. You now have both horizontal and vertical color blasts, and now you have dual color blasts, two different athletes on the same card. What do you think of this strategy, Doug? Is it how they needed to go? Is it how they should have gone? Did they do the right thing, or are they now totally watering down the chase insert case hit market?
They're watering it down. I really don't like this move at all. I like the individual cards. Like, I like the vertical color blast. I like the visual appeal of it. I prefer vertical cards to horizontal, but it was totally unnecessary. We didn't need to wash down one of the more iconic modern insert cards. I also hate cards typically with more than one player on it. When you have the second and third and fourth guy on there, and inevitably one of those guys is not going to be desirable, or there's going to be one that carries the card and one that's like, oh, I wish this guy wasn't on there, right? And so I don't like dual player cards. And what's wrong with just keeping the horizontal color blast? Just keep the horizontal. I know most people were going to prefer a vertical card to a horizontal, but all of our other really good inserts that we love are vertical. What's wrong with having one really nice one that's horizontal? Maybe there's somebody out there that prefers that. But regardless, having, you know, three different iterations of color blast now to try to make up for autos is pretty unfortunate. It waters down one of the better inserts of the past decade.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting take. You on board with this, or you seeing this a different way?
I like it more than Doug does. Yeah. I think, you know, collecting wise and ripping, I want to pull cool cards.
Yep.
Period. I don't care. You know, I mean, obviously, I think rarity is important. I am with Doug on the dual ones. I don't like cards with two players. Any card that I've had of two players or three players, I feel like there's always one that doesn't pan out, and it always makes me so frustrated to own that. So I like the verticals. I think that's a good thing, and I think to combat the overall lack of autos is the biggest part of it.
I actually really like the dual color blast, but I really like them if they're two players that have sustained the test of time together.
Sure.
If you had a Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, yep, dual color blast, if you had a Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, or a Troy Aikman, Emmett Smith, Michael Irvin, triple color blast, those cards I would be completely into. The challenge is when you pair...
Try to put rookies together.
Yeah, you got, you know, I think they put Burrow and Jamar Chase on a color blast, which at the moment seems awesome.
Yep.
And I like it. However, you don't know what the future is going to hold for either of them.
Yeah,
and
gets traded.
Yeah, if Chase is on another team in 2 or 3 years, then probably nobody wants that card. Or if he gets injured, if either of those guys get injured and have a much shorter career than the other, then it's like the card kind of loses a lot of its meaning. So the dual cards are certainly a risk on younger players, but conceptually I'm kind of into them. It just needs to be, you know, I think the guys who are
more goat focused.
More goat focused dual color blasts. And yeah. I think we're on to something there, Panini, if you could do a little bit more of that for us. Okay, guys, I appreciate you guys watching this week. Any questions you want us to answer for next week's show, leave those in the YouTube comments below. Please give us a like and subscribe and go get Market Movers, sportscardinvestor.com, Market Movers in the main menu bar, or the Market Movers app on your phone. Thankfully, we get to rematch them in a month or two here. I feel pretty good about that. Until then, we'll see you next time. Take care.